Hello.
Hello, and welcome to the Nonprofits. Russell, don't you want to turn down that other thing? That's finally coming in. Hi, everybody. This is the Nonprofits. It's come to our attention that certain people have been listening to our show on borrowed computers at public libraries, and that sometimes we're too loud. So, if that's where you are, turn your speakers down. Okay?
Okay. Now back to the regular volume level. This is the Nonprofits. I'm your host, Jeff D. Our co-host, Dennis Lube.
Hello.
And...
Hello.
No. We're back.
Oh, okay.
We're back to normal volume. Assuming he's turned his speakers down. Russell?
Hello.
Russell Blaster, our producer, everyone.
Hello!
That was very helpful, I'm sure. We are live July 31, 2004. This is our program.
Yes.
If this is your first time listening, welcome to the show. If this is your 53rd time listening, welcome back. Also, welcome to everybody in the chat room listening to our fine showgram as we broadcast it here live. If you don't know how to do that, what you do is, while you're listening to our show, you go to the Atheist Network website and click on the chat link, and you go into a chat room with all kinds of other people that are listening to our show, if you're listening live. If you can't listen live, you go to our website, www.atheist-community.org. That's actually the Atheist Community of Austin website, where the past several episodes... How many now do we have there, Russell? On the website. Have you been taking the old ones off, or are you just continuing to pile them up?
What?
It used to be we kept like four, and then you take the old ones off as you put new ones on. Are you still taking the old ones off as you put the new ones on?
Oh, yeah, we keep about seven.
Seven?
Seven.
That's the answer to my question, then. Seven. Programs, previous programs, you can download and listen to on demand.
Excellent. Well, what happens if we can't communicate with them whatsoever? What should they do then?
then it's not our problem.
Oh.
Well, then what you do is if you know such a person that we can't communicate with directly, you go tell them personally about our fine program.
Ah, that's it.
And you pass this information on to them, and then they start listening, too.
And on and on. And each of you out there, tell 10 of your friends, and then...
And they'll tell 10 friends, and so on, and so on, and
yes,
so on.
Yes, and if they each send us $5...
Gosh, then what?
They'll be blessed.
We'll be
God.
Rich, and everyone in the world will
be. We're not asking for money.
We
don't actually need the money. Not yet, anyway. The Institute for Humanist Studies has been conducting an investigation into the Atheist Charities organization that we've been announcing on our show recently. They've uncovered compelling, though not completely conclusive evidence, that Atheist Charities is in fact a scam.
Oh, no.
And so we're going to stop mentioning them until that's resolved one way or the other. You can read about HIS's ongoing investigation at their website, www.humaniststudies.org. That's like, it's a current news item on their main webpage, though, of course, if you listen to this show late.
Right.
And it could be, oh my gosh, seven shows. We do about two shows a month, so that's
six and a half months
worth of shows online.
Cool.
People could be listening to me right now, 6.5 months from now, before that
rolls off the end
recording
of the...
goes away.
Yeah, it takes
pretty good.
Okay, so check the calendar. This is being recorded live on July 31. Any instances of slurs, defamation, or discrimination against atheists or other non-believers in the U.S. media should be reported to the National Atheist Ombuds by emailing ombuds@atheism.org. That's O-M-B-U-D-S.
Yes.
At
and it might be noted they're not a scam.
That's not as far as we know. Please remember to include as many details as possible in a news source where applicable. Incidents will be reported to participating national and local non-theist organizations who have agreed to distribute press releases regarding the reported subject matter. Okay. We got some email these past couple of weeks from Billy. He says, I hear on your show that you would like us to report discrimination of atheists in the media. It's not on your site, so I have no idea how you spell ombuds. Well, that's why we said, Billy.
O-M-B-U-D-S.
says, anyways, I was wondering if you could help. Apparently he hasn't gotten access to an email account. So he sent me this URL with a news story about Carlos Delgado, a baseball player for the Toronto Blue Jays, who's protesting the war by not standing up for God Bless America. Why anybody from Toronto should feel obligated to stand up for God Bless America, I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, but it's kind of odd.
But it was
not
also
God Bless North America.
Right. But it wasn't at all clear from the story whether Delgado was himself an atheist. Mm-hmm. It may simply be he may believe in God and just think, well, no, God's not blessing America because America is involved in this incredibly illegal and stupid war.
Yeah.
So I declined Billy to follow through on that with the ombuds because it's not at all clear whether it's any of their business. But he concludes, thanks again for what you're doing there in Austin. Thank you, Billy, for writing. News.
News? Did something happen?
A number of things I have been led to understand happened during the last couple of weeks.
That would suggest the time is passing.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Generally 2 weeks between our shows.
Excellent.
Who wants to do the first news? I mean, I could, I'd start. I brought more than you guys did.
Might as well. We could get the Democratic Convention out of the way.
Let's get the Democratic Convention out of the way. The Democrats have.
I did, in fact, watch every day, or at least I kept the TV on behind me while I played games.
And?
Well,
thumb up or thumb down?
Thumb up.
Should we wait for it to come out on video? What? Dollar Theater?
DVD. Thumb up for me. Bill Clinton spoke on the first night, and God damn, that guy is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say, like, he's the best, like, leader in the world, but he is an incredibly good speaker. And, of course, Kerry spoke on the last night, and he was good, too. I mean, I would like to be in a position today where I'm sitting here saying, I'm no longer voting for just anyone but Bush. I'm voting for John Kerry. But, you know.
Boy, I am.
It wasn't that good. Well, I am, in fact.
Because of his speech?
No, I am, in fact, voting for John Kerry.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would like to say, like, John Kerry, oh, my gosh, he's the best guy we've had in
on the basis of a speech, you want to be able to say that.
Well, I want other people to be able to say that, let's say.
Okay, I want to go on record saying I don't particularly care that much about individual speeches.
Okay. Well, it was Kerry's first major public address, and it was supposed to define who he is and
you know, those guys don't write their own speeches anyway.
Yeah.
Practically none of them.
It's still
And then all you're judging the guy on, first there's content, right? There's speech content.
Yeah.
Which is valid. Right.
And then
there's presentation, and clearly
you think
Clinton, you want Clinton back because of his presentation.
No, the presentation was actually very good.
Oh, good.
And this is like, I was only talking about content.
Okay. Thank you for
correcting me. The media slant on this, I generally take it, has an awful lot to do with presentation.
Yeah.
I mean, Kerry is being described, at least I know by my coworkers, as he looks like Herman Munster, and that must be a talking point because I've found plenty of other people saying that.
Well, Herman Munster would be an improvement over who he's got.
Yeah. Or, you know, he's stupid.
I bet you Herman Munster believes in science.
Yeah. And when Rush Limbaugh does carry, which Rush Limbaugh just cannot do impressions, but when he does him, he's like, I want to raise taxes. That's Rush Limbaugh doing John Kerry.
And those Republicans complain that they're mistreated by liberals.
Right.
That they're slandered.
The discourse.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah. In fact, there was an awful lot of attention paid to trivialities this week.
Gee, you think? I noticed that, too.
Immediately after the convention, a sound clip went up on the Drudge Report website about CNN had inadvertently kept a microphone in the room of the guy who was in charge of letting the balloons drop.
Yeah.
And you can hear a lot of, I need more balloons. Where are my balloons? What the fuck are you guys doing up there? Seriously.
Yeah. And?
And that was like a major story this week. As was Teresa Heinz Carey telling some guy to go shove it.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy who, of course, nobody hears the background story on this.
What was the background story?
It was a reporter from a SCAFE-owned publication who misquoted her. And she was trying to argue that he had misquoted her and he wasn't listening. And she said, why don't you just go shove it? I think she was very well justified in saying that because right. Those people are dicks.
I think that guy should go fuck himself. Yeah. That's it. Thank you, Dick.
What was the context, by the way, of the Dick Cheney go fuck yourself quote? Is that right? Go fuck yourself?
Yeah. Was talking.
I don't want to misquote our vice president. Go fuck yourself, he said.
So. Yeah, he was talking to some guy in the Senate.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was the context?
In the Senate.
I mean, if we're going to care about context, let's care about context.
Well,
anybody know?
Do you want me to find out?
No. Somebody,
but I'm busy.
Folks in the chat room, somebody find out what was going on. When,
yeah, real quick, just tell me what was happening.
When Cheney made with the... the rude sexual comment?
Yeah, find an unbiased, scare quotes.
Well, do your best.
Good luck.
And I mean, Al Sharpton made a big speech, which I frankly thought was a little bit silly. But apparently, you know, it was fiery and passionate.
And one of the bits of the Democratic Convention that I did catch was the was right after that. Watching the CNN pundits run around like, you know, crazed weasels trying to magnify that into a huge controversy.
Yeah.
Right. And apparently people on the floor really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was like anything that they could think of that might possibly make it worse.
It ran on long.
Ooh. Ooh, he used too much time.
Oh, no.
And people from the convention said, well, no, you know, we've had these things with, you know, music in between so that if things run long or short, we can accommodate. And they go to
Bush bashing. No.
And Sharpton is going, you know, they cornered Sharpton. And here's this reporter bitch putting her hand on his shoulder like he's this little boy that needs to be talked down to. You notice that?
I noticed that.
And,
it was hideous.
He said, don't you think that you've lowered the level of discourse in the convention by attacking the president after the Democratic National Committee decided that they didn't want people saying things negative about the president? And he goes, President Bush said that the Democratic Party was taking black people for granted. And I had to say something about that. If I hadn't said anything about that, I wouldn't have been doing my job. Basically. I'm paraphrasing it, right?
Yeah.
And not doing a funny voice.
Right.
But, which I could easily do.
Yeah.
no idea what he sounds like.
You know, he did a really excellent job of, like, you know, looking at that reporter like she was from Mars and talking about how he just was doing his job.
Yeah, it's just flattening every point she brought up.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, God.
So.
Yeah, well, a major theme of the campaign, which I liked, it was repeated by several of the speeches, was, you know, we got to get over this idea that there's a black and white, a black America and a white America. This was Edwards' speech. And a rich America and a poor America and a gay America and a straight America. We're supposed to be the United States.
Right.
Right.
Good point.
And so, you know, there was a lot of partisanship. I mean, it was the Democratic Convention. They're trying
course.
To get their guy elected.
Did you see Ron Reagan's speech?
Yes.
And all the pundits scurrying around trying to talk about how, ooh, he said he wasn't going to talk politics, but he was really partisan.
Yeah.
But not the guy's fault. He's talking about an issue that one party has drawn a hard line against and the other one hasn't. That's not his fault. And
right.
It's not, you know, it's not partisan to point out, look, there really are interest groups that are trying to block human stem cell research.
Right, and people dying as a result.
Yeah, that's not partisan. Those are facts. Partisan is... Well, you know, Bush is a big poo-poo head.
Right.
Yeah, the candidates talked a lot about how much the last 4 years have kind of sucked, but they, you know, they didn't say Bush was a poo-poo head.
Yeah.
I'm going to...
Yeah, by the way, we are not under any obligation not to be biased on the show. I think Bush is a poo-poo head.
Yes.
I know that's a little strong, but, you know...
And Cheney has a caca mouth.
He has a what in his mouth?
A caca mouth.
Okay, so as far as Kerry's
I just want to raise the level of intercourse.
That was really snuck up on me.
I'm trying to do.
I'm not gay!
As far as Kerry's speech went,
By the way, did we get any feedback on the chat room on the...
No, people are now just telling each other to fuck themselves.
Oh, okay. Well, good. That's another way to solve the problem of our public officials saying naughty words in public.
Right.
Just everybody start using them so they're not naughty anymore.
That's right.
There you go.
So much simpler.
Well, let our leaders set the standards.
No. I'm afraid we're going to have to set the standard for our leaders.
So, as I said, Kerry's delivery was actually pretty excellent. I mean, he was animated, and he made a decision in the content
Pixar's
of his speech. He made a decision in the content of his speech that was both good and bad for me, which was basically he hijacked a bunch of things the Republicans were going to say and said them first.
Uh-huh.
He talked about patriotism. He talked about defense. He focused a lot on that, but a lot of it seemed like it was preempting what the Republicans
to
say.
But can I say something about that?
Yeah.
I mean, I hear all this talk about the Democrats, you know, hijacking Republican issues. National defense is not a Republican issue.
No, of course not.
Bloating our military out of all proportion, that's a Republican issue. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, government spending? Government spending is not a Republican issue.
Of course.
Shutting down programs that help people they don't like, that's a Republican issue.
Right.
So...
All right. Well, let me instead say that Kerry touched on a whole lot of issues which are generally perceived to be Republican
issues.
Well, good.
I like that perception.
Which is a good move.
Yeah.
He also responded indirectly to a criticism that he's supposedly a flip-flopper, which is like the big talking point on all the right-wing shows, which, you know, even if he was a guy who changes his mind, I respect that.
Yeah, and in fact, I was happy, I was thrilled to see that addressed in an interview on the convention floor a few days earlier with, oh gosh, who was the Democratic candidate from Boston that lost a few years ago? From Massachusetts?
Cleland?
No.
No.
Massachusetts presidential candidate for the Democrats a few years ago.
You can't think
Dukakis?
Of it?
I certainly can.
Dukakis, thank you. I think it was Dukakis who they were talking to. And he brought up the whole flip-flopping issue and said, you know, I don't know where the Republicans get off trying to turn stubbornness into a virtue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, and he said, there are some who would criticize me because I have a nuanced view of complicated issues. And that was a good way to frame it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's not the exact words he used.
That's exactly what they're doing. I mean, Republicans have bought, well, conservatives, for some reason,
have this black and white.
They're against intellectuals. They don't like intellectuals. They don't like people who actually know what the hell. Let me rephrase it. They don't like people who actually think a lot and try to understand what they're talking about.
They want that black and white certainty.
Yeah, they just want people to come out and claim they absolutely know for sure what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And, you know,
knowing what you're talking about takes a certain amount of, like, self-reflection and education. and nuance.
That ties right back into believing in God, I think, because...
I think so, too.
Nobody knows everything, and smart people don't claim to know everything. They just say, you know, I'll believe what the evidence strongly points
and
to.
It's not...
And if I get new evidence, then I might have to change my mind.
It's not just knowing everything.
Uh-huh.
Everything has nothing to do with it, really.
Right.
It's the certainty.
Yes.
You know, they say things, and, you know... It's black and white certainty. I'm certain that this is the thing. Well, no. Intelligent people know that they really can't be certain about anything. They can be fooled, you know.
That's
they
right.
can be wrong. I've been wrong before. So, what does that tell me? Well, it tells me I can be wrong again.
Right.
So I should
which
think
is,
about things
which
and
is,
try and be as right as I can.
And yet, at the same time, it's not, and that is not an obstacle to being passionate about
right.
the issues, even issues where you... You know, anybody who knows what the hell they're talking about knows that there are limits to their knowledge. But there can be limits to your knowledge, and you can still be passionate about the issues.
Mm-hmm.
What matters is when you come up against one of those limits, or when you find out that you've been wrong about something, how do you react then?
Right.
That's
do you
right.
just as passionately embrace the new information, incorporate that, and change your position? Or do you... pretend like it doesn't exist, insult the people that present that information to you, cut their funding, and, you know,
call
them move
them
over into little free speech zones.
Right.
Which, you know, by the way, the Democratic National Convention
zone.
Had.
Yeah. But where was their free speech zone, and how was it handled?
It was outside the convention hall somewhere, and I don't know.
Okay.
I was a little unhappy when I heard about that.
Okay.
Because that's what the other guys are supposed to do.
Yeah.
Here's another...
Well, I was just reading an article about a Bush appearance where there was an interview with a woman who brought her kids to see it, and what the security guards were doing is if you were wearing a T-shirt under your regular shirt and they caught a glimpse of the collar,
mm-hmm.
then they made you open up your shirt so they could see what was on your T-shirt. And they had anti-war T-shirts on, and so they were expelled from the convention with
wow.
insults.
I read an article, which I wish I'd printed, so don't go quote me on this, because
okay.
I don't know for sure that I've got it right. But Dick Cheney was speaking at a high school, and the students had to sign some kind of form saying that they would support him.
No
they were
way! But
again...
Interesting rumor!
Yes.
Yeah. Well, if there's any
but
truth
it wouldn't
to that,
be
let us
at
know.
All surprising.
Right.
Nice to know
I
what
read,
kind of a country
I read
we're living
Bush
in.
Going and talking to the Amish, though. I should have brought
you
that
did.
New story in. Amish.
Wow.
All right, never mind.
How do you talk
apparently,
to the Amish?
The
you,
reason
you can't
that,
do it by radio.
The
you
reason
gotta...
That, no, he was there in person. The reason
I can do it by person.
Now I'm doubting that this was even true. That's probably why I didn't bring it in. But according to this story... the reason why the story was listed on the Atheist Infidels newswire
uh-huh.
is because in that encounter, Bush declared himself a spokesman for God.
Oh, boy. Cool.
Oh, I bet that went down real big with the Amish.
Didn't say. All right, let's
okay,
move on.
Well,
do you have more stuff to say about the...
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Here's another thing that Cheney said that has traditionally been something Republicans talk about a lot, and that's religion.
Blow me?
No.
No.
Okay. Religion. Here's my Cheney, I'm sorry, did I say Cheney? I meant Cherry.
Oh.
Cherry.
Very
good. Sorry.
That's why I was expecting that it would be another, you know.
Here's something else that Cherry said. And let me say it plainly, in that cause and in this campaign, we welcome people of faith. America is not us and them. I think of what Ron Reagan said of his father a few weeks ago, and I want to say this to you tonight. I don't wear my religion on my sleeve, but faith has given me values and hope to live by from Vietnam to this day, from Sunday to Sunday. I don't want to claim that God is on our side. As Abraham Lincoln told us, I want to pray humbly that we are on God's side.
All right, so that's a little
bit of religion
yeah.
on his sleeve.
But I stand by my statement that anything is better than Bush. So.
Yeah. Well, look,
I know a little bit about this God that he's praying he's on the side of, and that is what bothers me. You know? But, on the other hand, I also know that he's largely representing the people who consciously blind themselves to the content of their own religion's holy book.
Yeah.
And so, as you know, for all practical purposes, they don't worship the God of that holy book. They worship some imaginary, you know, peace and love entity that they have constructed for themselves in their minds.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't need to be worried on that score.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. It's kind of like if the Bible is a big salad bar,
yeah,
we like their salad better than Bush's salad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And when it comes to making a religious appeal in the political arena, I would rather side with the candidate who had all the Christians who are lying to themselves about what their God is as depicted in their own holy book than the ones who are taking it literally.
Right.
I would rather be on their side. Still bugs me. I mean, I think part of the reason that religion has never completely gone away, even though we've gone through historical periods where, you know, in this country in particular, where it was less of a big deal, is that when it sort of tones down to the point where that's mostly the kind of Christian you're dealing with, folks like us go, okay, well, the really egregiously dangerous stuff is gone, so sure, let those people go off and believe their crap.
Right. At the same time, you need to be practical about it. I mean, most people are religious, and the Bush campaign is going to try to portray Kerry as someone who's hostile to religion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think... speaking for myself, I'm not hostile to religious people. I mean, as long as they're reasonable.
But I'm hostile to the phenomenon.
Yeah.
You know, yes. I mean,
But again,
I'm looking 20 years ahead in the future and being really optimistic, right? Saying, imagine we have, you know, a big resurgence of liberal religion in the United States, so that mostly all that you ever hear about are these kind of touchy-feely, European-sounding ministers,
yeah,
right, who want to tell you some nice, fluffy, bunny stories, and that's about it, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking ahead to that time and saying, you know, I still want to be up on a stage debating those idiots.
I do, too.
Okay. So,
but
that's
again,
why it's difficult for me to grit my teeth and say, okay, fine, Kerry's reaching out to those idiots.
Well, again, this is what he said.
Yeah.
In this campaign, we welcome people of faith. America is not us and them.
Okay. Does he also... Did he make a point of welcoming people without faith?
No, he didn't.
Yeah. See, that's the issue.
But, I mean, the reason he specifically took time out to say we welcome people of faith is that it's assumed that that's not the main part of his platform.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so let me get to some stuff in the speech that was good.
All right. Yeah, I think we're all going to have to just, you know, grit our teeth and accept that religion is a big issue in people's minds right now, that they think that's still considered important and valid and positive. And until that goes away, this is how politicians are
handling it. My dentist has something to say about gritting teeth.
All right. So much promise stretches before us. Americans have always reached for the impossible, looked to the next horizon, and asked, what if? And now it's our time to ask, what if? What if we find a breakthrough to Parkinson's, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and AIDS? What if we have a president who believes in science so we can unleash the wonders of discovery like stem cell research and treat illness for millions of lives?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go, Kerry.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It would be nice to have a president who believes in science.
It would.
Instead of that poo-poo head we have now.
Who manipulates science.
Right.
to his purposes.
He believes anything framed, you know, in scientific sounding language that agrees with him.
Right.
And disagrees with anything framed in scientific language that doesn't agree with him. Huh. Okay.
All right.
Well,
so let me sum up.
Please.
I do think that Kerry is going to be overall a really good candidate.
Okay.
I don't think he'll be like the greatest guy ever to grace our presidency.
Yeah.
Of course, Jefferson is a tough standard to live up to.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's just like the best guy we could find from a pool of really bad guys. I actually think that he'll make a pretty good president. And, you know, I still think anyone but Bush, but yeah. If it has to be someone in particular, Kerry's not a bad way to go. Okay.
All right. Let me do something that...
By the way, I found that Cheney story, but I'll read it later as part of the news.
All right. Yeah, do you have political stuff there?
Political stuff?
Yeah.
Let's see. I got one weird little story.
All right, why don't you take us out of the whole political thing with that one? And I will do this. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich, Republican from Georgia, has advised Republicans to focus this year's presidential campaign on a few wedge issues in an effort to paint Senators John Kerry and John Edwards as an out-of-the-mainstream ticket. One GOP lawmaker said that Gingrich encouraged Republicans to pick issues such as, are you listening carefully?
All right.
School prayer.
Okay.
Strengthening work requirements for welfare recipients. Okay, that's a real Republican issue.
Right.
Trying to make sure not too many poor people get any money.
Right.
And barring the United Nations from monitoring U.S. elections.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Now, first of all, is this happening now?
I don't know.
Does the UN,
monitor?
Yeah, that's the second question. One, yeah. Is it happening now? And second, why would that be such a big deal?
Right.
Because it's assumed that the UN is not going to like Bush.
So?
I guess, but that's, of course, their right. I mean, but it's always, in principle, a good thing to have outside...
unbiased party checking your results.
Yeah, no, even if it's biased. Yeah. Even if it's biased, right? It's good, even in our culture, right, where we have bias all over the place. It's good that at least the biased people can take a look at what their opponents are doing and comment on it.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. But... What I find disturbing.
Why would we want to hide?
Right. What is it that the Republicans want to hide? That people in general who are against allowing the United Nations to look at how we do our elections. What is it that they're afraid of?
I mean, what we should do is we should invite them to examine our elections as an example of democracy to the rest of the world.
You would think,
it obviously means they're doing something. We're doing something wrong, obviously.
Lawmakers who attended Wednesday's session expressed excitement about Gingrich's policy proposals and political tactics.
That's insane. Why don't they just come out and say, yes, we're cheating. We don't want the UN to find out.
I am so waiting for them to trot that out.
Oh.
Because I think if they try to make that a wedge issue...
Please do.
Now, it says here that they polled people on their views of these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And got a higher than 80% in favor of these things.
That's crazy.
But you know, some issues, people will say things because they just haven't thought about it.
Yeah.
That one just sounds like it would be so easy.
But it's so freaking obvious.
To explain to people why that's not only not a bad thing, but we should welcome it.
Right. We should be an example to the world. And they're saying we shouldn't be an example to the world?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, I'll repeat what I said last week when it came to the gay marriage issue, which is that most people don't really care about it that much.
About what?
Gay marriage.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that being one of the many issues. And I think if the Republicans are perceived as trying to create this wedge this way, it could backfire on them. Because they won't be able to portray themselves as moderates, which is what Bush did in 2000.
They're the mean party.
Right.
Yeah. Do you have more political stuff there?
I do now.
You do? So what was the story on Cheney and his comment?
A brief argument between Vice President Cheney, this was a story on June 25th, and a senior Democratic senator led Cheney to utter a big-time obscenity on the Senate floor this week. On Tuesday, Cheney, serving in his role as president of the Senate, appeared in the chamber for a photo session. A chance meeting with Senator Patrick Leahy from Vermont, the ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, became an argument about Cheney's ties to Halliburton, an international energy services corporation, and President Bush's judicial nominees. The exchange ended when Cheney offered some crass advice. Fuck yourself, said the man who is a heartbeat from the presidency.
I'd like to see that kind of professionalism.
Yeah.
So that was the context. Fuck yourself.
Yes. It was a response to a criticism.
Well, yeah. That's a...
All right.
Okay.
Just checking.
I have that other story about Cheney, if you want me to...
What's the other one about Cheney?
This was about the high school, but I'm not sure it is a high school, actually.
Okay.
Some would-be spectators hoping to attend Vice President Dick Cheney's rally in Rio Rancho this weekend walked out of a Republican campaign office, miffed and ticketless Thursday after getting this news. Unless you sign an endorsement for President George W. Bush, you're not getting any passes. The Albuquerque Bush-Cheney Victory Office, in charge of doling out the tickets to Saturday's event, was requiring the endorsement forms from people it could not verify as supporters.
Oh, man.
Why don't we just all speak with Russian accents now?
State Representative Dan Foley, Republican from Roswell, speaking on behalf of the Republican Party, said Thursday that a known Democrat operative group was intending to try to crash Saturday's campaign rally at Rio Rancho Mid-High School. So it is, in fact, a high school, but it's not high school students.
This brings up another story I didn't bring.
Yeah.
There is a group, I know none of the details, folks. If you go to... infidels.org newswire page, which if you don't know where it is, you'll have to look around for it, and scan the current stories, you can probably find this thing yourself. There's an organization that has gotten together. It's liberal Christians, as far as I can tell. It's like the Mainstream Coalition or something is the name of the group, I think. It's probably at least close. They've organized to send people into churches, into fundamentalist churches, to check out what the fundamentalist ministers are saying and see to it that they don't cross the state-church separation line.
Yeah.
And the fundamentalists are going frickin' ballistic. But... you know, what's wrong with this? What is wrong with it?
Yeah. If you're not doing anything wrong.
There are rules under which you're supposed to operate.
Yeah. What? There are laws.
You think you can have your little cult building and everybody that goes in there is one of you and therefore you can get away with anything? I mean, that's what reminds me of this is the story that Russell just read. Trying to exclude people that might not agree with you because they might catch you doing something wrong. Well, but the issue is you're doing something wrong then. It's not that people are paying attention. Ah, horrible. Horrible, yeah. horrible. Oh, and by the way, this has occurred to me that we should probably start making this more clear. This program is no longer directly associated with the atheist community of Austin, except that we have our past episodes hosted there. They do not fund us financially or dictate our agenda or anything. And this is important for us to say because we're getting really political here.
Yes, we are.
And they're a nonprofit organization. They're not allowed to do that.
Right.
Just so that's on the record. So,
a consequence of not allowing yourself to be approached by any person who disagrees with you is this kind of certainty that we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This sort of, I'm absolutely right. And, if you don't ever talk to people who disagree, then how can you ever know that there even are other opinions that might have some legitimacy to them?
Yeah, well, I think that's true. That's why you don't want things like, that's why people don't like cults, right? Cults, in one definition of the term, are groups that separate themselves from the rest of society,
right,
where they can exist in a little vacuum and go off on any kind of bizarre tangent, and then when they come out, they're generally...
They're completely disconnected.
They could have turned into anything.
Right.
Right? Sometimes you get the nice, friendly Amish.
Like evolution.
Yeah, their kids sell drugs sometimes, but other than that, generally, they're Amish, don't cause a lot of trouble. But... sometimes you get David Koresh.
Yeah. Here's an example.
Yes.
Of exactly that kind of behavior.
Please.
Three Tampa City Council members walk out during atheist invocation.
Atheist invocation? What was the atheist invoking exactly?
Well, let's see. Three Tampa City Council members walked out of chambers rather than listen to an atheist give the opening invocation. Let's see. What was he saying?
You can paraphrase. Word.
It was basically just talking about how science and reason has led us on a good path.
Uh huh. And we should keep doing that
for centuries, and we should keep doing it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right.
And
but who didn't hear this?
Oh, council members Kevin White, Mary Alvarez, and Rose Ferlita left their seats. Thursday, rather than listen to Michael R. Harvey, a member of the Atheists of Florida, who had been invited by council member John Dingfelder to offer the invocation.
Go Atheists of Florida!
Yeah.
Do we have any Atheists of Florida listeners?
Even before Harvey spoke, White was pushing to cancel the invocation. There are sacred moments that refer to a supreme being, White said. And this speaker doesn't believe in God. We have never had people of an atheist group represent Americans, White said, and I don't think it's appropriate in this setting. Wow. Well.
That's pretty clear.
That's pretty clear. Americans, atheists aren't Americans. Wow. I mean, White's motion to cancel the invocation failed 2-4. Good. Supported by him and Alvarez, who called White very brave for making the effort. I just can't sit here and listen to someone that does not believe in a supreme being.
Well, you can fucking go off into your little world, asshole.
You know, there's a roughly 1 in 7, 1 in 8 chance every time you hear anybody talk that there's somebody who doesn't listen to a supreme being. How many times has that been a catastrophe for them? Ugh. Wow.
Mayor Pam Iorio, I can't pronounce this.
Spell it.
I-O-R-I-O. Iorio.
Iorio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who did not attend the council meeting said later the invocation should be reserved for speakers who invoke God.
Why?
I certainly don't agree with having an atheist come for the invocations, he said. I think the invocation is a time for the council to start their day with an expression of faith. I guess atheists are excluded again.
I know they do. I know they believe that, Dennis. And I have another story to address that specific issue.
Yep.
If you think that's an isolated incident. I think we've all learned that it's not by now. Local leaders will keep praying at meetings. Florida. Local officials say they won't change the way they pray at public meetings after a federal court ruled against prayers specifying a particular faith at government meetings. A U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals said prayers that advance particular religion are unconstitutional. The court concluded that prayer at public meetings is legal only if broadened to include all faiths. The case arose after a Great Falls woman protested her local town council's habit of opening meetings with a prayer in Christ's name.
Right.
Grand Strand, Florida, not Grand Stand, the place called Grand Stand, Florida, leaders who regularly begin meetings with Christian prayer say they won't stop the practice.
Of course not.
I don't tell them how to make their rulings, so they can't tell me how to pray, said Horry County Council Chairwoman. Oh, I'm sorry, it's a woman.
Yeah.
I don't tell them how to make their rulings, so they can't tell me how to pray, said Horry County Council Chairwoman Liz Gilliland.
Said Lawless County Council.
Who called the ruling asinine.
Oh, well, that's nice.
The decision may be controversial, but if people think about it a minute, it's a perfectly obvious point to make, said Joe Kahn of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, a Washington advocacy group that supported the suit. Government can't tell people which religion is better than another. For as long as anyone can remember, local governments and school boards have opened meetings in prayer. In the South, the practice goes back more than 100 years. But I notice they don't say that it goes back 200 years, because then it would be something that goes back to the Founding Fathers.
Right.
100 years is, well, less than half that amount of time, isn't it? Some local bodies, such as Horry and Georgetown County Councils, often use the name of Jesus or Our Heavenly Father. Others, such as Myrtle Beach City Council and Conway, invite leaders of many faiths to lead an ecumenical prayer and ask them to refrain from citing a particular religion. In recent years, leaders of Christian, Jewish, Muslim, and Baha'i faiths have led them. Myrtle Beach's policy aims to reflect the city's diverse faiths. Myrtle Beach City Councilwoman Susan Grissom Means said. She said she has heard complaints from residents when prayers contained an overtly Christian bent.
Yeah,
and
there you go.
Here's where we go from reasonability into the horrors of religious insanity. Myrtle Beach Rabbi Doron Eisenman, remember, this is Myrtle Beach where they have ecumenical non-specific prayers.
Right.
Myrtle Beach Rabbi Doron Eisenman has led the prayer in Myrtle Beach and said the city's policy is a good one. He said governments that tailor their prayers to a particular faith run the risk of alienating residents. To be all-inclusive is always good, he said. We all believe in God.
Yeah. Irony meters are going wacky.
I'm sorry. Try again. We've got these guys who say, we can't say Jesus. You're not supposed to say Jesus. We're going to say Jesus anyway.
Right.
And that's one layer of badness. And then...
not render unto Caesar is what is Caesar.
And then, even if you get him to stop saying frickin' Jesus, they say crap like this.
Right.
That we all believe in God, therefore, you know, generic prayers to a generic deity are okay. No, I'm sorry, they're not.
Inclusion is good, as long as we're all white. You know,
right.
Yeah. Thanks.
Inclusion is good as long as your particular cult gets included, Mr. Rabbi.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Precisely.
In the Great Falls case, the woman who protested the prayer is a Wiccan.
Uh-huh.
Once again, this is why we need to have atheists directly challenging these things. We can't be relying on, you know, fringe religions to make a case for us because their incentive is only to take it as far as generic prayers. They have no incentive to follow this through to its necessary conclusion, which is that they shouldn't be doing this crap in the first place. So, so there's that. Russell, what do you got? Anything on the oh, government prayer, government religion kind of.
Oh, well, front. As a matter of fact, yes.
That's hearing.
Have we been to Alabama yet?
Not recently.
Well, this was actually a letter to the editor in a Birmingham newspaper this week.
Okay.
But it was by Police Chief Annetta Nunn, who is police
not
chief.
A nun.
So.
Okay.
And she speaks about, I still ask why. I am deeply saddened when I remember the images I saw as I arrived on the scene, just as I am when I recall the senseless murder of Officer Joseph Jerome Daniels, which remains unsolved. As I reflect on innocent citizens who have been murdered, such as Bonky McCain more than 10 years ago and the young girls in Fairfield 2 weeks ago, I wonder if the suspects would have made a different decision if they realized how many lives their actions affected. People seem to use gun violence as the only way to resolve conflict. So far,
no
complaints with
no
this letter
there.
I had a young person tell me it was easier to shoot someone than to fight with them. How do we change this mentality? What I'm about to say may not be popular or even seem simple, but I believe the most effective crime prevention strategy is found in the Bible. 2 Chronicles 7:14 states, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." God wants us to return to him and obey his word so he can heal our land. You know what else it says in the Bible?
Yeah.
Go and kill all the men and take all the young women who have not known men by lying with him and dash the babies against the rocks.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, but I think she's onto something here because, you know, there's proof in the centuries of peace they've had in, you know, heavily Christian Ireland.
Right. Yeah.
Clearly, if you just have Christianity, then that solves everything.
Yeah. Well, their problem is that they allow both Catholics and Protestants.
Uh-huh.
If you only will allow one variety, then there will be peace.
That explains it.
I say this while acknowledging the responsibility that comes with my position. Until God's plan is implemented, we in public safety will continue to risk our lives to improve the quality of life for everyone. The hope that this destructive mentality can be changed is found in Hebrews 8:10, but I'm not going to read more damn
good
Bible
grief.
Quotes.
All right. Dude, just do your frickin' job.
Do that.
Yeah, Dame. Wow.
So, there you go, the solution to all the world's problems.
And, you know, and this is why it is important. Again, it's important we not let these fights be taken by simple, you know, minority religions.
Right.
Because minority religions could content themselves with an argument that, oh, separation of church and state just means that there shouldn't be a single official state church. Because as soon as you get a single dominant religion, even if it's divided up into denominations, then you've got Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you've got Ireland, then it does get down to, well, we'll have to take the next logical step. Right? We can only allow one of these denominations. It moves in that direction. But for somebody like a Wiccan, who just wants, the government can say there's a God as long as it doesn't say which one, they're content to let us slide in that direction. Got to be an atheist fight.
Once you get a lot of people, you know, once you exclude all the others,
yeah,
and you've got a good place with just one religion, then it splinters.
Right.
Fantastic.
Well, sure, that too.
Some group disagrees with another group within that group.
I want my government to take a stand. There may or may not be a God. That to me sounds like a perfect stance for our government to take.
Yep.
Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Next case. Dennis, would you like to do another? Do you have anything vaguely related to our train of thought here?
Got a weird one here.
Okay.
Belief in hell boosts economic growth, Fed says.
What?
Fear of Netherworld is a disincentive to wrongdoing. Reverend. So, Washington.
What?
Economists are we have, for reasons.
Hey, excuse me. We have breaking news from the chat room.
Yep.
So Brian F. in the chat room has been convinced by the other members to see Fahrenheit 9/11, even though he thinks he'll disagree with it.
Okay.
Good.
Yay.
That's very open-minded of you, Brian.
That you Economists searching for reasons why some nations are richer than others have found that those with a wide belief in hell are less corrupt and more prosperous, according to a report by the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis.
What the hell? Who paid these guys?
I don't know.
Did they also establish, my first question, did they also establish that, establish causation? Or is it merely, because, you know, if the United States was Hindu, I can see a, if everything else is the same, but the United States was Hindu, I can very well see some nitwit releasing a report saying, belief in many gods prevents people from wrongdoing.
Right.
Or believing that everybody's got a station in life, their karma establishes what their station should be, keeps people from wrongdoing. No.
No.
It's correlation, not causation.
In countries where
happen to be Christian.
In countries where there are where large percentages of the population believe in hell, there seems to be less corruption and a higher standard of living.
Uh-huh. Right. Like Western Europe.
Like Mexico.
Mexico. Actually, I've heard Mexico's actually not.
Is
not
it cleaning so bad. Itself up with corruption?
I mean, I don't know about corruption.
I think
they just take
pretty widespread there.
I don't know very much about Mexico. How about if I don't comment?
Okay, yeah, I should probably shut
but,
my mouth.
But
too.
I should say, my understanding is that Mexico is not a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that there's nasty parts of it, but there's nasty parts of the U.S.
Yeah,
and my understanding is also that in a lot of those cultures where they have things we call corruption, that is part of their system. And for us to finger point at them and say that that's bad is not necessarily valid.
Right.
Okay. For those cultures. But I would point to examples of, say, Western Europe, where largely people are atheists.
Yes.
And yet they're quite prosperous.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's nonsense.
Yep. And then a reverend chimes in. You know, well, I'm not surprised that Reverend Eileen
Sudan believes in hell.
There you go.
Deputy General Secretary of the U.S. National Council of Churches, right?
Uh-huh.
When told the results, the expectation that there is a cultural belief in hell of perpetual eternal punishment for wrongdoing will act as a disincentive to wrongdoing. Oh, God. Simple carrot and stick. Thank you for reducing us to a bunch of, you know, mindless...
donkeys.
Mindless responses, you know. Oh, jeez.
Uh-huh. And what is the percentage of atheists in federal prison? How much is it below the average percentage of atheists in the general population? I mean, we know these things.
Ugh.
Okay. You know, I'm not going to try to make the reverse case. I think people generally who want to do bad things will figure out a way to justify it to themselves.
Right. Oh, yeah.
They will either, figure out...
Religion provides a handy excuse.
And not even a religion. If they don't have religion, people will still find justifications for doing bad.
I'm just saying...
Those people don't deserve their wealth. Or, they have insurance and that'll take care of it.
Yeah.
I'm so much poorer than them, my need is greater. I won't get caught.
Right.
You know, they did bad things to me. I mean, there's all kinds of justifications for doing bad stuff.
Yeah. Oh, God will understand.
This is true.
And, you know, they're used by everybody. There's nothing special about religion.
Yeah.
Yikes.
But, religion makes the claim of the opposite.
Right.
And that's what we're calling them on. They're a bunch of freaking hypocrites.
Right. Well, they're wrong.
They're wrong.
Speaking of other nations.
Yes?
Trying to link this desperately to what you were just saying. It doesn't really directly relate. The Indian government is considering making witchcraft illegal.
Okay.
The Indian government is reportedly considering a proposal to declare all forms of witchcraft illegal. In order to prevent a practice that has killed more than 2,500 women in the last 16 years.
You mean nobody will be allowed to cast real magic spells? What will change?
Hold on. So this here, you've got to follow the story very closely.
All right.
They want to declare witchcraft illegal to prevent a practice that has killed more than 2,500 women in the last 16 years.
Right.
You would think, from this paragraph, that the practice is the witchcraft.
Right.
That witches are going around killing people, and they want to make that illegal. The idea is, follow very closely, this is weird. The idea is to put in place a new law that would make witchcraft a social crime, the sources said. Crimes related to witchcraft, like human sacrifice and witch hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Notice, we've now lumped these two together. There's the actual killings by witches now.
Right.
And now there's witch hunters. Mm-hmm. Are currently tried under certain laws, but there's no bar on the practice of necromancy and voodoo, which is to say, of all the witchcraft activities and witch hunting activities, some witchcraft activities are not illegal in India yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay.
So let me get this straight. Hang on.
You need to follow one more.
Okay.
The central government has moved to declare witchcraft illegal after the UN expressed concern at the number of murders ascribed to witch hunting.
Uh-huh.
So this story is very carefully let us in with the implication that the murders were, that the deaths were at the hands of witches, then, oh, it's witches and witch hunters. And now we find it's witch hunters. Mm-hmm. Which
right.
is, and then we're left with, oh, I see. That's like saying, we're going to make homosexuality illegal in the United States because of so many gays that are killed by homophobes.
Right.
That is essentially what they're saying. The UN also released figures of what it said were the victims of witchcraft and black magic around the world. The world body has named India, along with other countries in Africa, Asia, and South America, as a high incidence zone for witchcraft-related killings. So, and it is true, there are people who believe that in the name of their witchcraft beliefs that they need to do some killings.
Sacrifice and stuff like that, yeah.
But it's clear, well, from these numbers, according to official figures, 2,556 women were not killed by witches, were branded witches and killed in India between 1987 and 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
The figure was around 4,000 collectively for Britain, Ireland, Wales, and Australia between 1999 and 2003. And that really shocked me.
Shit!
4,000 people killed in Britain, Ireland, Wales, and Australia. In roughly, in 14 years.
Witch hunting?
Yeah.
Real?
Yeah.
Literal witch hunting is still abroad. It's still
apparently
alive and kicking.
These are the figures.
Oh my god.
You know,
we live in the 1700s?
It's not that surprising, Dennis. How often do we hear in our culture about, like, police departments taking seriously freakish, bizarre rumors of satanic cults? That's, like, a pernicious problem that we're facing in our country.
Yeah, but it was
with people's lives. So far, it's not murder, but how big of a step is it from believing that satanic atrocities are occurring to giving yourself the authority to going out and killing the supposed Satanists? It's not that big of a step.
Well,
I am just surprised that compared to Britain, Ireland, Wales, and Australia, the extreme religious lunatic nation.
Right.
We're not the ones doing the occult killing, doing the witch hunts. On the other hand, there's no figures given for the United States.
Right.
So I don't actually know. I assume that the story lists this because it's, you know, big. West Bengal has a relatively low incidence of witch hunting, but superstition continues to claim a toll. On Thursday night, an 80-year-old man was beheaded by a group of men who said the sacrifice was needed to appease a river in that was eroding its embankment and threatening their homes.
Wait, so...
Yes,
that's not witch hunting. They just said in that last paragraph, there's not that much witch hunting in that particular area of West Bengal.
Okay.
But in other places in India, there's a lot.
Hmm.
See, once again, the story is trying to put the blame back on the actual witches by ending with a mention of one case of superstitionists killing one guy because they needed to appease a river.
I see.
The actual figures are all these huge numbers are about witch hunting.
Right.
Witch hunters kill lots of people. Also demon slayers. On TV, anyway.
That's right.
And those are just demons, so they don't have rights.
There.
Okay.
What century do I live in?
I think we've mostly come out the other side of our... I got one more religion and law kind of story.
Uh-huh.
What about you guys?
I have a political joke.
A political joke?
Yeah.
Do your political joke now.
How many neocons does it take to change a light bulb?
How many?
Bush got a blowjob.
What?
Clinton
got a blowjob.
Oh, you
should have done
that. I can't tell a joke.
No.
I can't tell a joke.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
You see, literally dozens of other people heard you.
I know.
Fail.
Oh, because Republicans would change the subject.
That's
from
right.
Light
right.
Bulb to talk about Clinton.
Now I have to explain joke. I'll explain joke. Oh, God. And this is going to be on the site for 6 months?
Yeah, 6 and a half. 6 and a half.
Death is the only answer.
Appeals court says pastor can sue church.
Pastor can sue church.
Yes.
Good, I guess.
I love when these people fight amongst themselves. And
yeah.
I love it even more when our government gets out of the way and lets them. A federal appeals court drew a fine line between church and state on the 23rd, ruling that a female pastor can sue her church for sexual harassment without violating the church's right to govern itself.
Cool.
The decision by the 3-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals means Monica L. McDowell Elvig can pursue her claim against Reverend Will Akles and Calvin Presbyterian Church in Shoreline. Elvig joined Calvin Presbyterian as an associate pastor in December 2000. She claimed Akles began harassing her and created a hostile work environment. When she complained, she said she was verbally harassed and eventually fired. Calvin Presbyterian, which determined Elvig's claims were unsubstantiated, not true, just
right.
there weren't other witnesses.
No one's going to speak up for her.
Argued that her lawsuit violated the church's First Amendment rights. The U.S. Supreme Court previously has held that government must not meddle in church personnel decisions, the appellate judges noted. So the church is saying, no, we can hire and fire anybody for whatever we want. And this sexual harassment thing, no witnesses.
Right.
We can fire her if she wants.
Religion
we want.
Is all about avoiding responsibility.
Sure. Judge Raymond Fisher wrote for the 2-1 majority that the church's autonomy does not relieve it of its responsibility of protecting employees from sexual harassment.
Hmm.
Because the church has the right to hire and fire people as it pleases, he said, Elvig cannot pursue a claim that the church retaliated by firing her. But she can pursue a claim that the harassment itself and any verbal abuse she suffered from the pastor in retaliation for reporting him caused her distress.
Hmm.
So, yeah. interesting because, you know, all this faith-based bull crap that the Bush administration is pulling,
uh-huh.
right? And then all their efforts to allow religious organizations to accept federal funding but still hire and fire on the basis of religious prejudice.
Uh-huh.
This is an interesting thing about that even if they succeeded, there are things that churches will do, right? Like, if you're in a church that says, and I don't know what the case
right.
was with these guys, but if you're in a church that says, well, women are supposed to be subservient, and you don't act subservient, and you are harassed, right,
yep.
sexually, doesn't matter that they were only allowed to hire people of their own religion, they can still sue you for being assholes. But I hope that they won't even get that far. Then we got a spate of reports about celebrities.
Uh huh.
You have one.
Yes.
And I have one. What's yours?
I have the sad one.
Do you have celebrities, Russell?
Celebrities.
Any news stories about celebrities, famous people?
No.
And things, good or bad things happening to famous people? What happened to a famous person, Dennis?
We have 15 minutes.
Well,
okay. We'll wrap this up.
The Nobel Prize-winning scientist Francis Crick,
yep.
who co-discovered the spiral double helix structure of DNA in 1953 and opened the way for everything from gene-spliced crops and medicines to DNA and fingerprinting and the genetic detection of diseases,
yep.
has died. He was 88.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. Crick died Wednesday after a battle with colon cancer, according to the Salk Institute.
Ah, crap. Was he an atheist?
I don't know.
Was he a famous atheist?
I seem to remember him being...
Can you do a quick duck over to atheist celebrities.com?
Yeah, I'll check.
And check? Or
I
something in the chat
recall,
room, find out.
I seem Crick, to recall him being one of the people that the creationists like to quote as saying that life is very improbable.
Ah.
Not that that necessarily means anything, but I'll check.
Crick and Watson were awarded the Nobel in Medicine in 1962.
Year after I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And now anybody out there that can do simple mathematics knows how old I am. Huh. Wow.
Yes, biotech he laid the foundation for the biotech industry.
Okay. Cool.
Here's from AmericanHumanist.org. It says, Dr. Crick's reputation as an atheist and a humanist created controversy.
Aha! Uh-huh.
But he steadfastly defended his views and even acknowledged that his rejection of a religious worldview helped him form his reasons for exploring scientific investigations
exactly.
into questions about life.
But that didn't make it into this news media report of his death.
No, of course not.
Bastards. In other celebrity news, Richard Dawkins has been voted Britain's top intellectual.
Cool.
Woohoo!
Yay.
Is he a bright?
I don't know if...
yes,
I believe he is a bright.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any, you know, prize or plaque or statue or
yeah.
certificate or, you know, anything. associated with that, and I don't even know who did the voting. I mean, it could be some kids' magazine for all I know.
Well, we must assume a bunch of lesser intellects voted him the best intellect.
I would imagine, yeah, but why should we listen to them?
I don't know. we should go directly to him and say, do you think you deserve this?
But, you know, just because you're a lesser intellect than Dawkins,
yeah.
not much of an insult.
No, no.
There's a lot of room there for brilliance. So, yeah, there was a whole story on this, but it was basically a story of Richard Dawkins' life, which we don't have time for because we're down to less than 15 minutes. Woo! What else do we have? I got fake statues, fake weeping statues.
I can take us back to Alabama.
Take us back to Alabama.
Back home, Alabama.
Where, of course, the police chief believes that we have to get back to the Bible.
Yeah,
that's right.
That and also, a federal appeals court Wednesday upheld a 1998 Alabama law banning the sale of sex toys in the state, ruling the Constitution does not include a right to sexual privacy.
You mean
Oh, well, they have to be massage aids again, darn it.
You mean Roy Moore is not going to be able to get the dildos that he so desperately enjoys?
Nope, Roy is going to go to bed lonely tonight.
If Roy Moore wanted to take a dildo and insert it into his anus,
mm-hmm.
he would not be able to acquire that dildo in his own state. That's
not in his own state. He would probably have
to go
to Georgia or something.
Yeah, across the state boundaries. Now, do they have laws there like we have in Texas that you can only own so many?
I don't know if you can own any. Now it's completely prohibited
to sell them.
At all.
To sell them. But owning
them
is
see,
completely
in Texas,
different.
In Texas, the law is five. Limit of five.
Right.
Per customer. Five per citizen.
Right.
Because more than that, you're a dealer. That's why it's against
right.
the law.
Oh,
here.
In a 2-1 decision overturning a lower court, a 3-judge panel of the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said the state has a right to police the sale of devices that can be sexually stimulating.
The state has a right.
Yes. So,
well, I guess
so
the
they
state,
should be allowed
the state has a right, technically, to try to police anything.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, but...
Well...
Isn't someone's hand a device that can...
Yes, I know, that's what I was thinking. I mean, you know, are they going
to
outlaw cucumbers? They
start, like, equivalent of martial arts academies, but they're like masturbation academies. And you get certified, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, I have a black wristband.
Masturbation.
And then you'll be illegal in that state.
Yeah.
They won't let you on airplanes and stuff.
I don't think they should allow you on airplane.
The American Civil Liberties Union, which
uh-huh.
represented merchants and users who sued to overturn the law.
Users. People that insert dildos. Okay.
Asked the appeals court to rule that the Constitution included a right to sexual privacy that the ban on sex toy
mm-hmm.
sales would violate. The court declined, indicating that such a decision could lead down other paths, so they invoked a slippery slope argument.
Oh, slippery slope argument for our justice system. How wonderful.
If the people of Alabama in time decide that a prohibition on sex toys is misguided or ineffective or just plain silly, they can repeal the law and be finished with the matter, the court said. On the other hand, if we today craft a new fundamental right by which to invalidate the law, we would be bound to give that right full force and effect in all future cases, including, for example, those that involved adult incest, prostitution, obscenity, and the like.
But, you know, the Supreme Court has ruled that people have a right to sexual privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the people
I do not know.
That was the whole gay sex ruling.
Yeah, in Texas here.
Yes. The Supreme Court ruled that what you do sexually in the privacy of your home is your own damn business.
You are correct, sir.
And since that has been established, those guys would not be making up a new right. But those who object to the right of gay people to have gay sex
also
responded
said,
to that with the same laundry list of slippery
then
slope issues.
You have to allow incest in polygamy.
No. Just like if they said, oh my God, you know, in Alabama we've decided that we're not going to allow the sale of dildos to minors. We wouldn't be having a problem here.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right? We would not be having a problem. It's not our issue that, well, technically dildos aren't our issue, but, you know, I think we're generally in agreement that there's nothing terribly wrong with limiting access to sexually explicit stuff to minors. Right?
Sure.
And there's nothing about saying people have the right to their own sexual practices in their home as long as they're not breaking any other laws.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Because
that's the part they always forget. There's nothing about that that's going to lead to incest because that would be breaking other laws.
Right. There's already laws against that.
Ugh. Morons. Well, what do we got left?
I got nothing.
But time-wise.
Oh,
can I do a quick...
5-6 minutes.
Okay. Church says weeping statues are fakes.
Really?
Yes. In a highly unusual moment of clarity, the Catholic Church... I'm editorializing that.
Ah.
Catholic Church has officially declared the oil seeping and bleeding artifacts at the Inala Vietnamese Catholic Center are fakes.
Aww.
Brisbane Archbishop John Bathersby yesterday apologized to all those deceived. He released an investigative report and issued instructions for the principal statue and other objects to be removed from public veneration.
Thing is, he needn't bother.
What do you mean?
Apologizing to those who were deceived.
Why?
Oh. Be done.
Huh.
I just saw Mall Rat say something in quotes that I can only assume is two guys talking in prison. So, what are you in here for?
Too many sex toys.
I acquired a sixth dildo. Archbishop Bathersby said he asked for a full accounting of any monies received during the time of these pilgrimages.
Hmm.
Keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
He asked to know how much money they took in on the fake relics. News of the weeping, seeping artifacts swept around the world, and thousands of devotees have visited the center in Brisbane, Southwest, since May. That's Brisbane in Australia, I believe. The so-called phenomena. I found this a strange turn of phrase.
Yeah.
Isn't it a real phenomena? There's a real phenomena. The phenomena is somebody is perpetrating a hoax.
Right. But go ahead.
Included a large plaster statue of the Virgin Mary, rosary beads, and a picture of Jesus and a crucifix. The commission was, quote, not satisfied that the phenomena was, within the proper meaning of the word, a miracle. Archbishop Bathersby apologized to the people who believed this to be so, saying that the center's priest, Father Joseph Nguyen Tan Lam, had believed the phenomena to be a miracle, but had accepted the archbishop's direction. Friar Joseph, who was unable to be contacted yesterday, had said he had no idea who had perpetrated the fraud. He also denied knowing about a DVD about the artifacts being sold on the internet.
Ah.
A little more money.
Yep.
Archbishop Bathersby said Friar Joseph had revealed that the extra money earned from the increased sales of rosary beads and crucifixes had gone into a special account to ease poverty in African countries.
Huh.
All right. Now, I want to analyze this for a moment.
Okay.
Please do.
There's a fake statue.
Yeah.
Money starts pouring in.
Mm-hmm.
They declare it not fake. Or they're not, sorry, they declare it fake.
Right.
Money stops pouring in. Archbishop says, how much money? Guy tells him. Archbishop says, where is it? Says, on its way to Africa. That is the end of the money. Right?
Now, don't mention it anymore.
There's no proof that this money actually went to Africa.
Right.
And even if there was, my question is, what the hell has that got to do with anything? We are talking about some significant amount of money, and Archbishop Bathersby goes on to say that Friar Joseph had confirmed substantial amounts had been raised. So we're talking about substantial amounts of money taken from the pockets of well-meaning Catholics.
Right.
By a fake.
Mm-hmm.
They know how much money. What are they doing to give that money back? Well, nothing.
Nothing. They're sending it to Africa.
Oh, it's going to Africa to help people in Africa. Therefore, it was okay that we stole it.
No, that's handy.
It's okay. It was a swindle.
As long as the stolen money is going to a good place. Remember we were talking before about people coming up with justifications for wrongdoing?
Mm-hmm.
There's one.
Example.
The thing I stole from person A is going to, needy person B.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. I am all in favor of helping the needy. That's why I'm going to be voting Democratic and not Republican. But not stealing from people in order to help the needy.
That's right.
Encouraging people to give their money to the needy, that's fine. Even making them feel bad about not giving it is fine.
Steal from the poor.
Stealing it by showing them a fake statue and then sending their money away, if it was even sent away, that's
right.
So far not established. Not justification. Many parishioners said they still believe the weeping and bleeding were miracles.
Yep. See, that's why I said you needn't bother apologizing.
I don't care. With my own eyes, I saw that. I believe it in my heart. Yeah, that's proof.
Yep. I
think it's genuine. We've seen a lot of this. Quotes. Yeah, I saw it. It's a miracle. No one knows what happened, but it's a sign from God. I'm doing like a you know, Jewish guy accent
instead of
Woody Allen accent instead of a Vietnamese accent, because I don't know how to do Vietnamese. I'm sorry. Thank you, everyone, for listening to our show. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Goodbye to everybody in the chat room. Thank you for your support.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.